Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Hey, just a real quick note about the hockey game tonight. Game 2, Avs and Blues. There were a bunch of false positives. Not only with the Blues, but the Golden Knights. They've retested both teams. They're good to go.
Game on.
So, that's that. Drop the puck around 8:30. Game is on CNBC tonight, as well as Altitude. So if you don't have a carrier that takes Altitude, CNBC's got the game for you. And they're going to have the pregame is going to be a Shark Tank marathon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, man.
Very different.
It's a good show. It's been going on for a long time. Still going.
They only have the Shark Tank marathon on, I believe, Monday through Saturday these days.
Oh, one day a week, though. You know, they find some other programming on Sundays.
Is it possible to tune into CNBC anytime after 4 p.m. and not see Shark Tank or some sort of form of Shark Tank?
Well, there's the Marcus, who's the other guy?
Marcus Lemonis.
Yeah, Lemonis. Yeah,
the prophet. Yeah. I love the prophet. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
The RV guy, right? Yeah.
Camping World.
Yeah.
I've seen the show. It's the same show time after time after time.
Yeah.
Goes to a crappy little business. He tells them to throw everything away. Uh-huh. They cry. And then they clean the store up.
They're rich all of a sudden.
Yeah. You actually really never know how the business does. You kind of do. They sometimes follow up. But
on the good ones.
Yeah, right. A lot of times it just goes to a complete disaster. But they always clean the store up.
The people that are pitching, they never see those sharks ever again. Ever. They get to talk to, the secretary of the secretary. That's who they get to talk to the rest of their business career.
I was actually watching the other day, and I did not realize Fat Shack is here in Denver. It was a Colorado thing, and now it's trying to grow.
So Richie was telling me about, I don't even know what Fat Shack is.
It's a burger joint.
Okay.
I mean, that really specializes in
being fat?
Ultra, heart attack type of food.
Gotcha.
So, good luck to Fat Shack. They make no bones about it. Romy Bean was on the DNVR podcast and had this to say about John Elway and Aaron Rodgers.
I know for a fact Aaron Rodgers and John Elway have had contact in the past couple of weeks. I know for a fact they were playing golf together out in California. I know. Yes. So I know that has happened. So even though that's tampering or whatever, and come on, how else does John Elway woo guys? But on the golf course, I actually have this story corroborated from two different sides, which is pretty wild. One is from someone in the golf world who booked the rounds. So it is verified. And then on the other end, by chance, I had a friend whose friends were playing at this club that weekend. And John and Aaron came up and played poker with them. So I guess it's corroborated on two sides, even though nobody's talking about that. But, you know, it's your out of the football world sources. So I know that has been happening at a very posh club in California. So I'm going to say John's handling that right now in his secret golf ways. Doing some work. And
we're not so secret anymore.
We're not. Oops, my bad.
Yeah. Wow, Romy.
Oh, boy.
That's
breaking some information right there. That's a juicy one.
That's dropping a bomb right there.
Oh, wow. So many questions. What? Oh, man. I don't even know where to start, but I've got so many questions in regards to what was the setting? Who were they with? Was it just them? Was it a charity event? Was there a foursome? Was it a club that they both belonged to and they've always belonged there? You know, like, who called who? Did John call Aaron? Did Aaron call John? What? How did this happen?
Yeah, what I would take away, at least from that reporting, is it was not a charity event because she said she knows the person that booked the tee time. Well, you wouldn't be booking a tee time for a charity event.
And that they walked into the club afterwards and they started playing poker.
Right.
They weren't really trying to hide anything, for the record. It wasn't like they tried to sneak out onto the golf course and not be seen by anybody. No, they went into the club afterwards and played poker.
Yeah, and John has a home in California. We know that because he spent actually quite a bit of time there. Because we heard about the back and forth sort of stuff, getting ready for the draft. So, okay. Could Aaron Rodgers, who also has a home in Malibu in California, play at a posh golf course? Well, sure, that all makes sense.
Do you know what this moment is right here? If the Broncos land Aaron Rodgers, John Elway just officially cemented his entire legacy as the greatest thing ever for the Denver Broncos. He will get all the credit for this because of this golf event.
Yeah.
And you know what? It probably would influence it. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I'm sure he's influenced by John Elway. That's who he grew up watching. He was a hero, right?
Yeah.
And so all the bad stuff that happened after Peyton Manning, nobody will ever remember any of it. This will be his little parting gift to the Denver Broncos, and he will go out as the GOAT, and it will never, ever be challenged.
You know, golf is kind of one of those weird, quirky deals where it's a very intimate thing where you're spending a lot of time with somebody else. And here's what I'm going to guess is a big pain in the neck for really famous people. Feeling like you got to put on a show because you're with a couple of guys that, you know, are constantly looking at you or asking you about things, yeah, which is going to take away your enjoyment of the next 4 to 6 hours, however long you're playing.
Sure.
So my guess
happens to be every time.
Well, I'm sure you've been in that situation.
No.
I'm sure you've gone out to play golf with somebody and you've been paired up with a couple of other people.
Sure. There have been times that I'm like, hey, dude, like enough questions. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Like, that's not what you signed up for.
Right.
It's way, golf is so much fun just to play with your boys.
Yes.
Right? And you can goof on each other and have fun and compete, all that sort of stuff. You know, if you're Stokely, you can carry Peyton's bags around. Uh-huh. And, you know, you might get tipped.
I mean, I'm just wondering if Peyton was at this. Was he in this foursome, threesome? Was he involved? Was Stokely out there? Stokely doesn't tell us anything.
You never
Stokely's
know.
Got like inside information and he doesn't share with us. Like, dude, you know your job? Your job is to snitch on your best friend. That is your job, Stokely. Snitch on Peyton. Everything he tells you, tell the world. That's what you're here to do.
I gotta give you credit for something. And give John credit for something too. Getting Peyton Manning as a free agent was incredible. If John Elway can get Aaron Rodgers on board, and if this is part of it, if this actually matters and is building that relationship to the degree where Rodgers really tells Green Bay, there is no way I'm showing up, period.
Yep.
And the team I really do want to be on is the Broncos. And Elway had a significant role, which on the surface, that looks to be the case.
Well, it looks like he had the initial role.
I tell you what, man. Not that John needs, you know, any certification as the most important person in Broncos history.
But all the bad stuff is gone. It never happened.
Oh, man, my goodness.
Yeah.
My goodness.
You got Peyton Manning and you got Aaron Rodgers.
That would be unbelievable. That would be simply unbelievable.
Now, we'll circle back on the other side of this conversation because, of course, there are concerns about, was this okay? Are you allowed to go play golf with another player? Is that legal by the NFL?
I have no idea. That's a great question.
I mean, George Payton is afraid to talk about other players.
Let's dig into that side of it. And our guy Stink says he would take Aaron Rodgers over Patrick Mahomes. We'll hear that next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
I'm seeing an interesting collection of comments about Romy Bean's report that John Elway is playing golf with Aaron Rodgers, as she said just a couple weeks ago in California. Look at John Elway clutching us another goat. He's the gift that keeps on giving. That's pretty positive.
That's what he will be remembered as. There's one person in here that was like, oh, if he goes out and gets Aaron Rodgers, that doesn't forgive all the bad draft picks. It doesn't forgive all those terrible years. Really? Really? I mean, when you think of John Elway in 10 years, you're going to be thinking about the handful of bad years that we had, or you're going to think about Peyton Manning, and you're going to think about Aaron Rodgers. Of course it's going to be all forgiven.
Here's another text here. Rodgers has said he wants to go to Denver. What is Elway getting credit for? Brutal coverage. Oh, yeah. Brutal coverage. A story that nobody else knew or was talking about.
Hold on. For the record, this report is saying that when they played golf, it was before the draft, okay? And when did the information break that Aaron Rodgers was close to coming to Denver? Well, that came from our guy Mark on draft day, okay? So that came after the fact. That report that he was interested in Denver came after John Elway played with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, 0342. Sorry, that's not up to your standards of interesting information.
Oh, I do have to say,
the rest of us feel differently, but okay, cool.
That if John Elway were ever to be asked about this, I think he would have to officially deny that they ever talked anything about the Broncos, because I do think it would be for sure tampering if you were talking about the Broncos. But there's probably a weird loophole in there that you can't tell people that you can't be friends. You can't tell a former coach that he can't follow up with a former player that's on a different team, right? Can't go out to eat with them.
Right.
No, I mean, you can have friendships. It's all about the context of whatever was said while they were playing golf. But if you were to ask John Elway down the road, did you recruit him at that moment? Well, then that could come back to haunt him, I think.
Yeah, by the way, Texter, one of the things, and maybe it's you don't quite get, I guess, is that when these really elite of the elite guys make their decisions, they get to make their decisions based on things most of other athletes don't get to, like how they feel about things. Most guys are just trying to...
Can I have a job?
Yeah. It doesn't matter how you feel about stuff. It matters if I can even get an opportunity. But the Mannings, the Rodgers, Tom Brady, these guys get to feel something.
Sure.
It's a huge advantage of being at their level. So having a feeling, something positive, could absolutely factor into Aaron Rodgers being more convinced that he will not go back to Green Bay. Cement that I'm not going to do this because I have another place to land that I feel comfortable.
Who do you think called who? Who set up this golf pairing? I bet Aaron called John. I don't think that John would be that aggressive to call up Aaron Rodgers and be like, hey, let's go play golf together. I know that you're employed, but let's go play golf and then let's go hang out in the clubhouse, play some poker with some strangers that we don't know.
My guess is they have a good relationship already, that they've probably played golf together many times, and it might be more of a, hey, when you're in town or when I'm in town, let me know. And, you know, that's kind of how golf goes sometimes, you know, like, hey, what are you doing? I'm around. You want to play? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It could go either way, depending on who's around and who's not. I think John probably spends more time in California these days than Aaron Rodgers. So
I don't know about that. Aaron's out there all the time.
I guess it's a coin flip. It's 50-50. Who knows? Mark Schlereth had some interesting thoughts, as he always does. And this was a debate between Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes.
Man for man, Aaron Rodgers is as good as anybody that's ever played this game, and he's every bit as good, if not better, than Mahomes. Every bit. Let's not bury the headline here. So you're telling me going into next season, this upcoming season, you would take Aaron Rodgers over Patrick Mahomes
for one season?
For this upcoming season?
Sure.
Okay.
As from a pure quarterbacking standpoint, what you've seen over the course of your career, the offenses that you've been in, your knowledge of the game, and the skill set that you currently have. Who won the MVP last year?
That'd be Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, thank you. Listen, I'm just saying that what you have in Aaron Rodgers, even right now at 37, is as good as it will ever get at the quarterback position.
Well, let's think about that. Who would you rather have, Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes? Both of those quarterbacks are on a list near the top, and it's a list that Drew Locke is on near the bottom. Details next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Man.
So Stink says this morning that he'd rather have Aaron Rodgers than Patrick Mahomes. What say you there, Tyler? This can be a little...
Mount Columbus. Speed!
That's a good one.
This is a little bit of a silly conversation, to be honest with you. I mean, this is like, would you rather have LeBron or Kobe? They're both in the league at the same time. Which one would you rather have? I don't know. Whichever one is my guy. Who would I prefer at this point in their career? Of course I would prefer Patrick Mahomes because you've got the longevity. But in context of what Mark was referring to there,
next season,
he said specifically next season. Mm-hmm. I guess I would still choose Patrick Mahomes, but who cares? If I got Aaron Rodgers, he's my guy. He's the GOAT. He's the best in the league. And you think anybody's sitting there debating if you've got Kobe on your team or if you've got LeBron on your team, are you debating whether you want the other dude? No, you've already got your dude. So who cares? I'll take either one of them, and I'll be happy.
Yeah, it's the first world problem for sure.
Right.
Just fun sports talk.
I mean, okay, but if you had to go 1 year, next year. That's an interesting question, actually. Now that I sit here and I think about it just a little bit deeper, I do think that Aaron Rodgers would have a better chance of winning with our current setup, with our current coaches, than Patrick Mahomes would have. Because Patrick Mahomes is you got to design the new system around him. You got to get the right guys around him. Of course, he could succeed anywhere. He's Patrick Mahomes. But it's a little bit of a system that he runs, right? Whereas Aaron Rodgers, he could come in and he is the system.
Well, again, this is probably a silly argument because it's not really a possibility. It's just kind of a fun, you know, sports debate sort of thing. However, this is interesting. Pro Football Focus ranked all 32 starters ahead of the 2021 season. Now, this is their projection about who's going to start.
Jet.
Patrick Mahomes was ranked number one. Aaron Rodgers was ranked number three. Tom Brady, number two.
Ooh.
All right, so, again, we're having...
I'll say that. Now, I already think it's a little bit flawed. You can't tell me that Tom Brady is the second best quarterback in the NFL right now.
Well, Pro Football Focus is. PFF's quarterback rankings are based on grading every player on every play and tapping into multiple years of data to project future performance. We go beyond just last season's performances, and the grading works to isolate each quarterback's performance from that of his supporting cast, making for more effective projections.
Okay, well, I mean, if you're including all of Tom Brady's previous years in this projection, of course he's going to end up in the top three. Isn't that what that's saying? Like, well, they're taking into account what he's done previously?
Yeah, I'll read you the numbers. He ranks second in passing yards on 20-plus yard throws during the regular season while taking care of the ball better than any Bruce Arians quarterback since 2006. Tampa has re-signed every significant player from last year. Brady will be more familiar and comfortable in Arians' passing attack with even more supporting cast continuity from last year. So they are factoring in, well, who surrounds these guys too.
Yeah.
So why does Mahomes get number one and Rodgers three? They write, Mahomes tends to get sloppy at times while drifting back in the pocket, putting pressure on his tackle. So the offensive line isn't the only culprit of struggles. The signal caller finished second in big time throws. That's a stat, 50, but also ended the year in top three in turnover-worthy plays. Wow, they're speculating what could have been a turnover. Mahomes features playmaking ability not only from the pocket, but also when extending plays with his arm and legs. It makes him the biggest threat in the NFL. You want to hear the breakdown on Rodgers?
Sure.
Rodgers is a stud playing with timing, rhythm we haven't seen from him in years. His average time to throw was his lowest in over a decade. It's getting better. The most impressive thing about Rodgers in 2020 was his patience with the offense and an ability to let it work for him. He managed to stay on course and operate the attack while sprinkling in playmaking ability. There's no doubt Green Bay is primed for a Super Bowl run, but that all depends on if the team can smooth over relations with Rodgers.
Yeah, they're not going to be in a Super Bowl run if Aaron Rodgers leaves. Jordan Love isn't going to go there. He's not going to take him to the Super Bowl.
So here's the struggle they have, obviously. You're going to sink like a stone without Rodgers. You're going to possibly win the Super Bowl next year with him.
Yeah, but also, I mean, if you're running the ship out there in Green Bay, you say, hey, eventually we are going to lose Aaron Rodgers. That's going to happen at some point in time. That's in the next 2 to 3 years, it's all over, no matter what you look at.
That's what the Colts were thinking about Andrew Luck against Peyton Manning.
All right, do we grind this thing out, try to get one more championship out of it, or do we try to get as much value as we possibly can so we're in a better position post-Aaron Rodgers, recognizing that, no, we're not going to be Super Bowl contenders, but we're going to have to rebuild ourselves, and we're going to need first-round ammunition to do that.
That's the question.
It's a tough one.
Yeah. The trade offers on the surface, if you think there's no way we're going to get him back, if he truly is Nolan Arenado to the Packers, as Nolan was to the Rockies, you could have kept Nolan. As soon as he could have left, he would have been gone, and you would have got nothing for him. And as it turned out, not only did you not get much for Nolan, you had to give up, $50 million paid over a period of time.
Can we get them to pay us to take Aaron Rodgers? I'll take that deal. You want to pay me to take him? I'm in. Sure.
And as I say this, the Rockies are circling the drain close to another loss to the Padres. They're down 2-0 top of the eighth, meaning they have not scored more than one run in close to 17 innings.
So that's not good.
No.
It's not very positive.
Where does Drew Lock fit on this list? First of all, I guess we should say Drew Lock is on this list because they project quarterbacks to be starters. For example, they've got Zach Wilson 30th, Cam Newton 27th, beating out Mac Jones, I guess, Justin Fields 25th, and Jalen Hurts 31st, where there may be some other, QB sort of things going on. They do have Drew Lock on this list.
All right. Well, I guess that's a little bit of a win for Drew Lock that he made the cut. He is officially the predicted starter for the Broncos, according to Pro Football Focus. However, he is the worst starter in the NFL. There's a couple ways you could look at that. I'm the 32nd best player in the entire world, or I'm the worst quarterback in the NFL. Either way you look at it, not a good situation for the Broncos. Teddy Bridgewater doesn't make the cut because they don't have him predicted to be the starter, but I'd be really curious to know where would Teddy Bridgewater be on that list if they predicted him. My guess, somewhere between 27 and 32. It wouldn't be radically different. Actually, I guess it would be 32 because they're officially predicting that Teddy Bridgewater is not as good as Drew Lock.
I guess so. This is Pro Football Focus is doing this. And by the way, we did find out today, Teddy Bridgewater, the reason he has not been at the OTAs this week is that they had a baby.
Okay, so that's forgiven. So it's okay. The fact that you're taking a little time right now during OTAs, no big deal.
Yeah.
All is forgiven. I don't know why that wasn't just, why didn't they just tell us that?
I don't know, but it's a pretty good reason. So enough on that, right? Let me read the breakdown on Drew Lock, who's ranked 32 out of 32 starters. So yeah, I guess it's a compliment that you're a starter, but you're last amongst all those who are stars, including falling behind guys who've never played in the NFL. The reason the Broncos acquired Teddy Bridgewater to compete with Locke was because Locke had the 32nd ranked passing grade out of 36 qualifying quarterbacks. He must find a way to clean up his 23 turnover-worthy plays and make better decisions. Locke shows promise at times. He had the 8th best passing grade when throwing between 15 to 20 yards and executing play-action pass. The leash won't be long. If given the opportunity, Locke has to play consistently and smart for Fangio to stick with his young quarterback.
That's true. Here's another good question for you. Who has a longer leash if they start, Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Locke? Teddy would have a much longer leash, in my opinion.
Very tricky. Very, very tricky. We'll get to your text. We also have a cool thing in terms of the hockey guys with the game tonight that you can participate in that I think you'll find fun. And, John Elway playing golf with Aaron Rodgers, does it matter? This is The Drive on The Fan.
Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
On the text line, if this Aaron Rodgers thing falls through, it'll be like being at the altar with Beyonce.
Oh!
Only for her to get cold feet and you wake up next to Roseanne.
Man. Oh, come on! Wow! Now you got personal there at the end.
Wow. Is it really that bad?
Are we at that level? I don't know. That's like a joke about the former D-Mac. Would you appreciate it? Huh?
Wow. I probably was pretty miserable to wake up next to. I probably still am. I mean,
you are still you. Let's be honest.
I know. I have noticed there's a... Every morning when I wake up, there's a wall of pillows between myself and my
wife.
Wow.
Yeah. Don't cross this line.
Yeah. At first, it was nothing, but I feel like that mountain of pillows is growing as time goes on.
What exactly does this pillow mean, honey? I mean, why are there two of them?
It's pretty clear what it means, Tyler.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
She needs the wall of defense.
Yeah. I mean, that's a border wall that's not going to be...
No means no, D-Mac.
All right, well, you're taking a rip on, I guess, Drew and Teddy if you think they're Roseanne to Beyonce. Aaliyah, is it that much of a fall-off? Maybe. By the way, I do want to correct myself. I was in error by just saying the Rockies haven't scored a run in only one run in 17 innings. It was pointed out to me that they lost in extra innings last night, so that's 10, and now they've gone through 8, so that's 18. However,
don't shortchange them, D-Mac.
I shouldn't, because so that's 18, but they also got shut out the game before against San Diego.
Wow.
And that was a 9-inning game. So 18 and 9, they have gone staggering 27 innings against San Diego and scored one run.
That's pretty pathetic. I mean, you don't accidentally hit a dinger out there at some point?
Huh? That is next level incompetence.
Man, you really suck.
27 innings? And by the way, one of those innings where you could have scored a run was the top of the 10th, where you started with a guy at second with no outs.
Right, right. Just got to move him over a couple times.
You got a bunt and then a ground ball to second and you get a run.
Yes, yeah.
No?
Yeah.
No.
Can't do that off. I mean, that's tough.
So they're losing right now 2-0, and I'm sure they're going to keep losing.
I did feel a little bit bad for Bard last night, though. Lose the game like that, you got the yips. You kind of been coming back from it. It was fantastic last year. Oof, one little moment like that to end a game. Ooh, that could get inside your head real quick.
Oh wait, Fernando Tatis Jr. back with a couple doubles and a home run.
So that'll help things.
Yeah, it might just mean you need to take a shower before you go to bed, D-Mac. It's from my pal Rob.
You know, you'd be amazed how many times my wife has to tell me to take a shower. That is pretty much on a daily occurrence. Have you showered today? Almost every single night she asks me, have you showered today?
Like during the entire day?
Yeah.
Like it's a mystery if it's happened at all during the entire day?
Yeah. Sometimes I try to fake it. Sometimes I'll take the towel and I'll like toss it somewhere just to try to trick her.
What's the longest you've gone without taking a shower?
Probably 5 days.
Any particular reason?
Well, I didn't feel like showering. I didn't smell. Yeah. I mean, it's been 3 days right now.
You're kidding me.
No, can you smell me?
I cannot. Are you being for real?
I don't know, am I?
I don't know. You are wearing a hat.
Hold on, come over here. Come here.
I'd rather not.
Give me your nose. Let me put my armpit on your nose real quick.
Please.
You tell me if I'm lying or not.
I'd have to stand on my tippy toes to reach your armpit.
Yeah. Sometimes I turn the shower head on, actually try to get a little splash of the water, get a little residue of the water hanging out there. Yeah, I showered. Go check it out. Okay. I brushed my teeth. What do you mean, honey?
We'll have Adrian Dater on here in a second. We do have a mission for the plethora of hockey fans we have out here, hockey guys. We're going to get him on in a second. On Teddy Bridgewater real quick. Teddy lost all games when he had the ball within one score in the fourth quarter. He cannot move the needle. Carolina wanted him gone so badly, they're paying the Lions' share of his salary. True. By the way, the guy the Panthers brought in is ranked statistically behind Locke. Oh, also, Las Vegas has Drew Locke as the odds-on favorite to be the starter in Green Bay if Rodgers is traded. Now, think about that a little bit. Not Teddy or even Love. He is the top of the heap over 17 other players by Vegas Lions. So pump the brakes on Teddy. He ain't it. Look at Justin sticking up for Drew Lock right there.
Hey, it's never a good sign when the guy that you bring in to be your main competition in a 50-50 coin flip to see who gets the first rep in practice, as our head coach has told us, when that guy is getting $7 million of his salary paid by his former team just because they wanted to get rid of him. That's not a good sign. I will have to give the texter that much.
All right, we have hockey action, and we do have an assignment for you. Hopefully it's a fun assignment. At 303-713-1043, we're the hockey guys, of course. We're looking for your keys to the game. For example, one of our keys to the game is for Gabriel Landeskog to finish him.
Finish him.
Landeskog goes right after him. So the captain, Landeskog. And then he shows some class at the end. He could have finished him off.
Yeah,
because of the hit, and you see Gabriel Landeskog, fists of fury, the right hands are flying.
Next time, no class, right?
Adrian Dater.
Finish him.
From ColoradoHockeyNow.com joins us. Hi, Adrian, how are you?
I'm good, D-Max. How's it going?
Well, I got a bunch of things for you. First of all, Adrian, our fan Avalanche insider, joins us courtesy of Bud Light, an official beer sponsor of the Colorado Avalanche. And like I said, ColoradoHockeyNow.com. Let's start at the beginning, and then we'll get to finishing off a player in a fight. But why don't you bring us up to date with what happened this morning and this afternoon with the COVID scare that went with the Blues and, I guess, Las Vegas?
Well, at the morning skate today, which I was at, not many others were at it, surprisingly. Not many other media seem to want to go to the skate anymore. But I was there, and no Jordan Binnington, no Vladimir Tarasenko, and no Jaden Schwartz on the ice for the Blues. And then the Blues GM Doug Armstrong came out with a statement saying, well, we believe that there's been some discrepancies in COVID testing. We'll have more information for you later on in the afternoon. So, of course, everybody started, freaking out, especially from St. Louis, that the Blues came down with some more COVID tests, positive results. Turns out that the NHL, which just put out a statement, said basically it looks like the lab that did the test got them wrong, false positives. So as of right now, Binnington and the other two are in the lineup tonight, it would appear, unless they were hurt for some other reason. And David Perron is still out for the Blues. But, everybody's back for the Blues who should have been there today but wasn't. And game on at 8:30 tonight.
So they don't have to worry about it now, but apparently they were going to play game on no matter what, huh? They weren't going to postpone this game?
That's true. I did talk to somebody from pretty high up in the hockey world, and he or she said that it was game on. So... that was always going to be the case. You know, unless they had, 12, 15 guys out, I don't, the league is probably going to take a tough line on this, saying, hey, that's what the taxi squads are for. That's why we have the expanded rosters. If the guys tested positive, well, that's too bad. But the game on. So it is on.
We heard on the Pierre Maguire was saying Gabriel Landeskog was being a nice guy and he could have finished him. how do you interpret that? And what does that even mean that he could have finished him? Walk me through that, Dater.
Yeah. Well, Pierre is my buddy, so but he gets a little excited sometimes. I mean, obviously he was down. Landeskog won the fight. He won the sort of a wrestling match to the ice, and Shen was in a kind of a position where he was covering up with his hands, a little bit of a turtle position, and Landeskog had that right arm still out there ready to roll for another big roundhouse, but he held back. So there you go. I mean, could have finished him as far as not in for life, I don't think, but Could have hurt him bad, right? I mean,
yeah.
Landy, I don't want to get hit by Landy like that. I would have covered up, too.
Well, I guess I was just thinking as we were hearing the commentary, like, oh, he was a nice guy by not doing it.
I think he was.
It was classy.
Okay, but I thought it, the code, though, was once the guys go to the ice, that's it.
Well, no, that's not always the case. I've seen plenty of guys keep punching when the guy's down. And so Landy did hold back. I think Landy was very, very polite, nice guy there. He could have had one more punch, I think, especially when, you know, Shen hit the guy, hit Brandon with a dirty hit. Then he chased Landeskog around looking for the fight in a way. He's like, come on, let's go. And Landy stood up to him and pounded him, and but he didn't do that last roundhouse right that he could have. So good on Landy, I think. But I'll tell you what, I've seen it plenty of times after a guy's down and they keep punching.
Well, Adrian, the Avalanche certainly played awesome in Game 1. It was an all-out assault. However, Bennington was playing out of his mind. Hey, I'm curious your thoughts there. Clearly, they were dominating. But Bennington, for a while, until he caved there in the third period, he was doing everything he could. Could a hot goaltender like him actually neutralize a team like the Avalanche who are that far superior, or does eventually the dam just break?
I mean, it happens. It could happen. It's happened plenty of times before. Gosh, I mean, I remember seeing J.S. Jaguar just stone the Detroit Red Wings for Anaheim. I think it was in 2004. Just incredible blanking of the Red Wings when there was shots are like 60-10 every night. I remember Dwayne Rolison for the Edmonton Oilers beating the Red Wings, conversely, 8-1 seed in, I think it was 2006. I've seen a lot of hot goalies steal games, so it can happen. Jordan Bennington's won a Stanley Cup, guys, for a number 8-seeded team. So don't think it can't happen. Again, I keep cautioning people. Don't think that this is a blowout series here. And frankly, I don't think the Avs dominated all that much that the other night. Yeah, it looked pretty lopsided at the end, but that was a 1-1 game going to the third period. And the Blues had the better of the play for a lot of that second period. So let's just slow our roll here a little bit, guys. I do think the Avs are the better team for sure. But gotta play games on the ice, and it's a tough thing beating a goalie like him.
All right, real quick, what's one thing that the Avs could do better that they're completely capable of doing better?
Passing the puck out of their zone, especially from behind the net. They had some sloppy passes the other night. Connor Timmins had one, a really bad one, right up the middle, blind backhander up the middle from behind his own net, got immediately picked off. That's a cardinal sin in hockey. Can't do that. Bet taking perfect care of the puck below their net, DMACC, is one area I think not only I, but Jared Bednar believes needs to be better tonight.
All right, Adrian, we look forward to the coverage of ColoradoHockeyNow.com. We appreciate it, and we're glad the game is moving forward. That's Adrian Dater, courtesy of Bud Light, an official beer sponsor of the Colorado Avalanche. So I'm seeing on the text line, there's a difference between finish him off and just finish him. So,
Explain the technicality. I'm not sure I understand.
You know, what did he say again?
Here we go. Landeskog goes right after him. So the captain, Landeskog. And then he shows some class at the end. He could have finished them off because of the hit. And you see Gabriel.
All right. Okay, I see the difference. I get it. What's
the difference?
I would take finish him as in killing him.
Finish him.
Well, that's, I mean, we don't want to murder people.
And I would
that's
say finish
idea.
Him off would be ending the fight in a authoritative way.
Finish him.
That is killing him.
That's murder?
I believe that is murder. Yeah. When you hear finish him, I believe that is actually murder.
Okay.
And finish him off is perhaps just, you know, you end the fight conclusively. I guess I could see the subtle differences there.
I think it's more embarrassing to have the guy just finish with the fist just in the air like Landy had it. I mean, I think you're better off just getting one right to the nose than having the guy just be like, see, I got you right where I want you.
Yeah.
And I didn't even have to do it.
Yeah,
finish him.
I could have if I wanted to, but I don't even need to.
I'd rather take the broken nose.
Yeah. Well, game on tonight, that's for sure. It's KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
And we're coming to your city.
Rantanen wins the draw. Here's Makar again. He'll dance. His shot, he scores! Cale Makar on the power play, and Colorado is off and running. Mikko Rantanen out in front. McKinnon scores! the point. Gerard McKinnon. He scores! Nathan McKinnon from downtown to the point. Goes by Krug. Open ice. McKinnon. That's all.
We're looking for your keys to the game. Hockey guys here, but...
Oh, yeah.
Like, we're saying the number one key to the game is just to... Mike, I shouldn't say finish them, then. It should be finish them off.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, we thought that COVID might have taken a handful of those guys out, including Bennington today. It did not. So, Gruby, I think it's up to you. It's time for a goalie fight. You know, come out and finish him off with Bennington. Awesome. Let's go. I mean, that's key number one.
That would be amazing.
He's their only hope. Let's go.
Finish him.
Goalie fight would be great.
Hmm. That's the key.
Goalie fight.
We also need to get a reporter to call up Ryan O'Reilly and go ahead and ask him how he feels about the game. You know, do you think you're going to win or not?
Well, he said it so convincingly.
We know that they have a lot of talent over there and they work hard. But for us, it's an exciting challenge. You know, we're going to have some fun and we're going to beat them.
That is the least enthusiastic we're gonna beat them prediction I've ever heard in my life.
How'd that work out?
Not well.
You don't even believe yourself, bro. How do you expect us to believe you?
Oh, somebody's pointing out finish him and finish him off both mean murder.
Oh, see, that's what I was confused by. It felt like a small technicality. I couldn't figure out if there was a difference there or not. Initially I thought they meant the same thing.
Finish him.
Would have been great if Landy would have made Shen flinch. That'd have been good.
Oh, that would have been great. The little pump fake action.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. They both mean murder, huh? I don't think we're emphasizing murder. That's
not good. Yeah. I don't want to encourage that.
No, I mean.
And here we go. Landeskog goes right after him. So the captain, Landeskog.
Show some class at the end. He could have finished them off.
Brutal fatality.
Brutal. Now, what's the difference between a fatality and a brutal fatality?
D-Mac, did you ever, from Zach, finish things with Marquette King? No, let me tell you, that would have not gone well for me.
Yeah, he definitely would have finished you.
He told me, keep my name out of your mouth, and I hit him with the or what. Twice in a row.
Or what?
It goes, keep your name out of my mouth. Or what? I'm telling you, keep your name out of my mouth. Or what?
I mean, that's a good move. You really got him there. I mean, are you really going to punch me right now?
Or what? But let me tell you, there was sweat trickling. You know what I'm saying? I mean, let me tell you. If he answered the or what question, it would not have been a positive thing for me.
You didn't think about saying yes, sir, or like,
no,
my bad, or
no. I reverted back to my, you know, little man Napoleonic, you know.
You were trying to trap him.
You were
trying to get a payday. That's what you were doing.
I wasn't trying to do anything.
That was entrapment. Yep. I mean, the or what, you were just begging him.
Punch me, please. That's classic.
Let's see what happens.
That's confronting a bully sort of, thing. Well, what are you going to do? There's a lot of things he could have done, actually. It could have been terrible.
The best part is that wasn't even your beef. You just found your way into that beef.
I know. I really had nothing to do. I mean,
well, you did have something to do with it by the time it got to that point.
I sourced an opinion based on what was going on with the Zoakley show.
Right.
But that's it. And then it came to him asking reporters who I was, walking clearly out of his way to find me, and then, threatening me to keep his name out of his mouth and or what? Twice. Mm. Meanwhile, the very supportive local media.
They had your back, right?
They started drifting away. There had to be.
They were like, the rest of the media was like the one dude in Walmart when they see somebody just getting totally assaulted and getting beat up.
Yeah.
And they turn around and they walk away.
Yeah, they took out three steps back and got their videos filming on their iPhones.
Marquette, we've all wanted to do this. So please, can you just go ahead and do this for all of us? You're doing us all a favor.
I reflect back upon it. It was our guy, Eric Schubert, who's an awesome dude, works for the Broncos. He's the one that stepped in, specifically Shu.
Wow.
And Shu stepped into the...
Good for Shu.
Good for Shu. Because if he didn't do that...
Save the day.
You know, I was just going to get... I mean, I was going to get shenned, you know, ultimately.
Right.
But I was going to get shenned. I wasn't running away, and it would have been bad. Would he have really thrown up? Would a pro athlete ever, like, throw a punch at a reporter?
I'm sure it's happened. Yeah. I guarantee you it's happened. Somebody knows the story right now on the text line.
Throw
text it in.
A punch.
Who, what reporter has been in a physical fight with a player? And it was probably the reporter that threw the first punch.
Oh, well, let me tell you, that definitely wasn't happening.
I mean, you were baiting him.
I was standing there. I wasn't, you know, we had our back and forth online, but uh-huh. I wasn't asking him confrontational questions like right to his face, nothing like that. He's a punter, dude.
You could have taken him because he was a punter?
No. I'm just telling you.
What does that mean?
No, there's no way I could have taken him. The guy.
Could you have taken a kicker?
I'm trying to think of a kicker I could have possibly taken in my life.
What about a long snapper?
No, long snappers are just like, you know, washed up linebackers. They could still beat the crap out of you, though. Think of the long snappers. True. I mean, Lonnie. I couldn't beat up Lonnie.
Well, Lonnie was like, he was couldn't the biggest anybody. Long snapper ever.
Yeah,
about Mike
true.
Leach?
There's no NFL player I could take.
I'm just trying to see how far you'll take it.
The
you know?
Only guy I may have at some point
in my life, I knew there was a guy.
Had a shot at some point is angry Jason Elam. Oh. I mean, and that is a huge maybe.
Wow.
Maybe.
Jason was pretty soft like that, huh?
Wow.
I mean, can you think of a guy I'd have a better shot against? I can't. I could maybe Norwood back in the day.
Norwood. Wow. Yeah. Jordan's been on our show.
No, not Jordan Norwood. Scott Norwood.
Oh, okay.
Not Jordan Norwood. No, he would.
Sorry.
It would be ugly. Yeah. Crush me.
Yeah. So. I mean, well, Jordan's pretty skinny. I mean.
And dude, look at me. Give me a break. Finish him.
I'm surprised that you don't think you could have beat up any NFL player. Actually, you've told me you'd been a Hall of Famer if you were 3 inches taller.
Playing baseball?
Yeah.
Well, if you give me 3 inches and 25 good pounds. I mean, I was not looking sharp back in those days, by the way, in that Marquette King confrontation.
I'm just shocked that no media member had your back. That's the biggest surprise out of this entire story.
You know what's funny, though? I don't even take that personal. Because I've seen it happen with other media members that I've had nothing to do with. I have seen other NFL guys confront media people, and it's the same reaction. So it's not, I didn't even take it personal. I was just like, well, that's who we are. I saw, this is crazy. This is years ago. I saw Bruce Smith of the Bills confront the Buffalo News' Jerry Sullivan, who's kind of like Buffalo's Mark Kisla.
Okay.
It was...
Specific. What do you mean by that analogy? Go ahead. What are you saying about Mark specifically?
He's an honest, confrontational, opinionated sports writer for the local paper.
Oh, that didn't sound bad at all.
No, it's good if you're a writer. It could be bad if
I'm
you're
an athlete.
I'm
glad I asked you to clarify. I feel like I just saved the day for you
and
Mark.
It comes with praise. I mean, it's the guy. Like, Jerry was the guy in Buffalo. Like, Mark is the guy for the Denver Post in terms of columnist. Yeah, that's a compliment. But Bruce Smith, do you know Bruce Smith at all? Have you ever run into him?
No.
I know you're much taller than Bruce Smith, you know, because he's probably only 6'3 or so, and you've got him by a mile. But there was something about Bruce Smith who was, seriously, maybe the most intimidating human being I've ever been around.
You don't have to convince me.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, you must have played against some guys that you looked at, and you were just, it was scary.
Yeah, like every Sunday. I mean, what do you mean? You think there was a single game that I wasn't terrified?
Finish him.
I mean, Mark Schlereth might have done it on purpose to himself every single week. I mean, mine wasn't on purpose.
It was more organic for you?
Yeah.
More natural?
Mine was more out of fear. Uh-huh.
Were you really afraid? Or was it, I mean, be serious. Are you really afraid, or was it just like, oh boy, here we go?
No, I mean, afraid is definitely not the word. You wouldn't survive 8 years in the NFL if you were afraid.
Right.
I definitely had some confidence, but
right.
for sure, it was the running joke in my family that on Wednesday I would come home, and we got our scouting report. I'd come home to dinner, and I'd say to my wife every single Wednesday, she'd be like, I know. Yeah. I would say every single week,
impossible.
You're not going to believe who I have to play this week. She's like, you say that every single week.
But seriously.
Well, Bruce went after this guy, Jerry Sullivan, and it was and you should have seen the media just cower, the rest of the media. Not one media person like hey, cool it, Bruce, or chill, or whatever. Nobody. They just all backed away. Mm. That's what happened in my case, too. But she was there to save the day. Never did get an apology from King on that one. But VJ pulled me over the next day and apologized on his behalf.
Is that right?
That is correct, yeah.
Wow, what did he say?
He said, hey, man. Well, first he was joking like, D-Mac, what are you doing with a punter? Swear to God. So he broke the ice like that, which I laughed too because it was funny.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, I'm sorry about that. That was out of line. And, you know, are you okay?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
Well, that's cool.
I agree. I said, thank you, coach. I appreciate that. And, yeah, everything's good. And don't worry about it. And he's like, okay, cool.
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
I mean, so, good for him. That was a good moment by VJ.
I 100% agree. So I just took that, the team apologized to me. Like, he didn't. Marquette King didn't. But everybody else that had a sane head did. And, you know, it was all good.
I mean, Schubert saved your life.
Schubert might have saved my life.
I mean, have you ever Schubert, given him a thank you?
No. I've talked to Shu about that many times.
I mean, what kind of thank you do you give a guy when they save your life? What kind of present do you
That's
give
obvious.
Him?
That's obvious.
I just give him mad props for being Shu. No, we've talked about it. I've said, hey, that was he deserved props. He made the right call at the right time in the right way. It got to two or once, and you knew.
Man,
there
I think
was
that's
trouble.
Worthy of a Peyton Manning handwritten letter right there. Like, hey, Eric,
yeah, you could be right
man,
on.
You
that.
Saved my life. You remember that day? I just want you to know that I am still grateful.
D-Mac can take Rodrigo Blankenship in a fight. The dude with the glasses?
I was
going to
say, yeah, the kicker with the glasses.
How tall is he? I don't know, man. I don't think I could take anybody in a fight. I think I could, you know, I could probably take Evans.
He's not tall.
I don't know if I could take Evans, actually. Evans is kind of boxy, you know? He's kind of...
A little doughy. You
oh,
know?
By the
but
way.
I mean, sometimes that helps.
By the way, you know who I thought I could take in a fight that I've changed my mind on? And Richie brought it to my attention the other day. And I got to give him props.
A goose?
No, John Simmer.
John Simmer?
The producer
really?
Of The Zoakley Show.
Wow.
Because he.
Why were we talking about fighting John Simmer?
Well, there's
why
very...
in the world did this conversation come up that you were? I mean, that is the most disturbing part. You were discussing whether you could beat up a coworker.
Well, he's not tall.
You at every workplace, you always like look at another guy and you think instantly, could I take him?
No, only if you're the smallest dude in the room. If
right,
you're the
fine.
Smallest dude in the room, yes, you walk in and you're like, oh, I think I might be able to beat him up. I've never once walked into a room at this workplace and been like, wow, yep, I could beat him up.
You've never looked at Orlando and wonder if you could take him?
No. But I have looked at Mark Schlereth and been like, I don't want to mess with him.
All right, fine.
He does bench press 800 pounds.
That is the same exact thing. That is the same thing.
Yeah.
Acknowledging you can't take him is the same thing as thinking I could take him. It's the same exact
no,
process.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It's an evaluation who would win in a fight, me or that guy. And the you know, yeah. But every guy does
no,
that.
No, every smallest
Richie,
dude in the room does that.
Help me out. When you first meet a guy, is the first evaluation, could I take him or not?
If it's not the first one, it's probably top three. So, yes, I would agree. That
yeah.
It
yeah, but you're a pretty
mind.
Small dude.
Well, I feel confident that I could take all of my coworkers behind the scenes here.
Well, oh, geez,
wow.
Look at what is going on right now. I mean, we're getting a call pretty soon, H. Hold
anyways,
on. So you didn't explain how
explain
the conversation
John,
about John Simmer.
Now I'm going to turn it back on myself, by the way. Because John, John is shorter than me. One of the few guys at the station is actually shorter than me. So naturally, I think, oh, well, you know, that's one. But it's been cold here recently, and everybody's just been wearing sweatshirts and things and whatever. Richie pointed out to me today, John Simmer is actually kind of a workout fanatic, and I saw him today like wearing just a t-shirt. He would crush me. He would absolutely kill me. I couldn't believe him when I saw him. John's actually, for a shorter dude, kind of yoked. So now I'm just down to John Davis. I am just down to John.
Dude, John Davis would crush you.
He probably would.
Oh my gosh,
he
have you seen
would.
Those tattoos?
I know.
What is,
you're probably
are you
right.
You kidding me?
You're probably right.
The amount of pain that he's endured to get all those tattoos?
I get it.
You get one little tattoo and all of a sudden you think you can beat up John Davis.
You know what? It's probably a stretch that I couldn't take. When I saw Simmer today, I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, look at this guy.
Well, I mean, at this point, I'm over it, but you still did not explain why the conversation came up, that you were discussing whether you could beat him up.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm over it at this point, but...
It's just what dudes talk about.
No, it's not.
It's what us dudes talk about.
What insecure dudes talk about.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure. Whatever you want to say. What do you want to say? I mean, sure. That's what dudes talk about. You can call us insecure. That's fine.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I don't know what happens in the conversation with the land of the Giants.
I've never thought, like, oh, what's the list of coworkers that I could beat up? I have realized that I don't want to mess with Mark Schlereth because, yes, he probably could wrestle a bear.
By the way, this is not some sort of deep thought or plan. It's a fleeting thought. It's just like it goes in your head for 1 second and it goes out the next second. It's not something that lingers around forever. It's just kind of like, oh, could I? Yeah, maybe. Maybe not. Could I take Park? Park is like 6'4". No, he'd take me. I mean, what are we doing? I could just run away from everybody
Hold on.
The journey was to run.
Just because
slow
you can run
long,
far doesn't yeah, exactly.
I know.
Just because you can run far doesn't mean you can run fast.
Yeah, I know. You're right.
I've seen a video of you running and it was not fast.
It's not pretty. No. Yeah, a 3-year-old smoked me at the finish of that half marathon.
Right.
That's the most embarrassing video. And the funny part, I thought I was running like the wind. And then they see the video, and there's a 3-year-old, like, you just got me easily. Yeah.
Hey, you take Sandy?
I can take Sandy. I think I can take Sandy. There you go. You're right about that. Yeah, there you go.
I don't know. Now, Sandy, I think he's got some spunk to him, man. You ever heard him get mad at a caller,
dude?
No,
you're right. He might be like a little mongoose that just does.
You ever listen to the post-game show? You don't want to mess with Sandy.
He's a bit relentless.
That's just sick.
I mean, you could be right on that. Yeah. No, you're probably.
Dude, do you not remember American Ninja Warrior?
Yeah.
Sandy was an animal on that course.
Yeah, good point.
So you're wrong.
I don't recall you being there, actually.
No, those were I couldn't do a push-up days. I avoided that on purpose because of how
so
bad.
Sandy Clough went to do American Ninja Warrior, but you didn't go.
Correct. That's how bad of a shape I was in. I played it off like I was embarrassed about it, or I was busy. I wasn't busy. I avoided it because I could not do a push-up. I couldn't do probably 3 push-ups in a row right then and there. Seriously, it was bad.
I mean, you would have even done it for the humor?
It was just piling on like how fat and out of shape I was.
Yeah, last you jerk.
Yeah.
Wow, whoa. Did I play that one again?
Last you jerk.
But if that came around again,
somewhere at home, Sandy is yelling at you right now to give it a rest.
What did Sandy do there? Sandy was able to do some of the Ninja Warrior stuff?
Yeah.
Like, what did he do?
No, he was, like, seriously impressive. Me and Mark were spotting him the whole time. And, yeah, we had to catch him a couple times to stay on the tightrope. But, I mean, like, he's climbing. He's pulling by the ropes. He's going on the tight walks, climbing up walls.
Yeah, I could.
There's video out there. You can find it.
Oh, that's awesome. Good for Sandy. That's awesome. That's awesome.
I mean, so Sandy was a good sport about it.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, there was... Listen, I know you give me a hard time because I talk about, you know, it probably way too much. But seriously, it was some dark freaking days for me. I'm telling you, it was bad.
You're trying to make me feel bad.
Oh, well, that's just where I was. It was not good.
Well, now I can't make fun of you.
Well, yeah, no, because I'll just admit it.
Now you're
going to
make me feel bad.
Yeah, maybe
the nattering nabob of negativism.
Sandy would probably win, too.
Taking the escalator down out of Funville.
Sorry.
Jeez.
Evans would take
bow chicka bow wow.
Sadly, I would have to face the fact that Evans would just at some point fall on top of me and then I wouldn't be able to move. I mean, I'd run around, but at some point he would corner me and, you know, he'd just fall on me and I would topple over and that would be that. But that's what you get. Hockey talk. Here we go. Are you ready for tonight? Are we fired up for tonight?
Yeah, buddy.
I do wonder... Here's a question for the audience and everybody. On the night that there's a hockey game like tonight, do you feel, in general, just more aggressive during the day? Because you know what you're about to watch tonight.
Stupid remote, get out of here!
Yeah. I wonder if fans...
Go to bed, children!
I actually do feel like more just, in general, fired up today because of the game tonight.
So you're thinking about Marquette King. You're like, man, I probably should have taken him on.
I wasn't backing down.
Yeah. I mean, I would have, you know, it wouldn't have gone
hockey
well.
Does get the adrenaline pumping, that's for sure. Playoff hockey, whoo, buddy.
Because you start thinking about it, like, as soon as you wake up, you think about the game and what's going to happen and where we're going to go as the hockey guys here.
Yeah.
I mean, I bet hockey players do that. I bet for sure when they line up on the ice, they really do think, could I take that guy? Or
well,
you know.
That's why I said after the Landeskog fight, I really am convinced that that was premeditated. Yeah, it was a dirty hit, but, I mean, dude, he was quick to go, man. Yeah. He was quick to throw down. I think that was premeditated. Like, hey, man, we're facing off against a team that we know is not as good as us. I'm the captain of this ship. I need to set the tone right now, get the dudes fired up. Yeah. Let's create a little bit of drama going here early on.
Yeah.
I'll throw some gloves here real quick. Throw them down.
Lead by example. You know, McKinnon, the only thing about Landy or McKinnon fighting, they both can.
Just don't get hurt.
Exactly, because do the Blues have anybody like, of course the answer is no, like McKinnon. O'Reilly's not like McKinnon. But, I mean, do they have, to what degree does it go down from there? Meaning if McKinnon was gone and one of their guys was gone, what kind of drop-off is that? And it's just kind of like not worth it. Then again, it's risky, but it sent a hell of a message. And we'll see if it continues on to tonight. I can't wait. And I bet everybody else is fired up about it. I bet everybody's been a little bit more aggressive, just kind of out and about today.
Everybody in Colorado has been sizing up all of their friends trying to figure out who they could beat up today.
Tell me that doesn't happen.
That is what's going on.
Come on. I mean, listen, I get it.
I played golf today. My wife was out there, a couple buddies. I was like, could I beat up these guys? What about my wife? Would she take me? You know, like, that's exactly what was going on.
Here's the problem. Here's what you don't understand. I'll give you a non-professional athlete perspective on things. You got to, for a long time after your high school days, compete at an incredibly, the highest level. Like, you kept competing.
Yeah.
Most of us, by the time we graduate high school, it's done. And we search our whole lives trying to figure out how to get that competitive spirit back. But you've just been lucky enough to accomplish it for 4 years, 5 years in college, 8 years as a pro, 13 years of high-level competition that the vast majority of us don't get. And so we spend the rest of our lives, now this might sound pathetic, I get it, but we spend the rest of our lives looking for that. And so it comes in very weird, sometimes petty ways.
That goes both ways. That's why athletes get in a lot of trouble when they retire also, though.
It could.
You can't ever find that adrenaline again.
Well, I would guess that the juice that you look for is on a higher level than sizing up the guy in accounting.
Finish him.
But for us mere mortals, sometimes it comes down to that.
Take Brad or Gary, engineers. I mean, the nerds. Could you take them?
I would never call them nerds.
Huh?
That's terrible.
I mean, well, they're the smart dudes. That's like a compliment.
Probably not. I don't know. Maybe.
Wow. Hold on.
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, you fat-shamed Roseanne earlier, but I called the smart dudes the nerds, and that was terrible.
To be clear.
That was the terrible thing that's been said today, is that I called some smart dudes nerds.
To be clear, I didn't fat-shame Roseanne. I read a text from somebody who was comparing her as an uglier, much version of Beyonce. Mm.
Savage fatality.
Let's go. Break them souls. Send them back to misery. That's why McKinnon is going to score. Oh, did you know before the game what a Gordie Howe hat trick was?
No.
You know it now, right?
Go on.
A Gordie Howe hat trick, hockey guys, of course you know, is you get a goal, an assist, and a fight.
That's a real hat trick.
Yeah, that's what it's. Virtually impossible.
You've got the cycle, and then you've got the Gordie Howe hat trick.
There's in hockey, of course, a hat trick is great. It's three goals. But getting a Gordie Howe hat trick is kind of, you are as in total of as a hockey player as you can possibly be. And Landy had a Gordie Howe hat trick, you know?
And here we go. Landeskog goes right after him. So the captain, Landeskog.
And then he shows some class at the end. He could have finished them off. Because of the hit, you see Gabriel Landeskog, fists of fury, the right hands are flying.
Game two tonight at Ball Arena. We're here for all of it. Mount Palumbus Speak is next right here on The Drive.
Well, that's like it was sung by angels.